Hello, and welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. My name is Loiso Bavuma, and I'm a senior associate in our dispute resolution department. I'm fortunate enough to be joined by the hardest working man in Sandton, Tim Smith, a director in CDH's dispute resolution department, and also the sector head of consumer goods and retail. How are you, Tim?
Hi, Loy. Thanks very much for having me. I don't know about the hardest working man in Sandton comment, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah, is work keeping you busy too?
Yeah, it's an incredibly busy time in the litigation department, and it keeps me out of trouble.
I hope you're getting some sleep. I must let you know that I've never lost sleep over a matter. I rest my case. Okay, jokes aside. Today's topic is fairly straightforward and quite relevant. It is the do's and don'ts of debt recovery. So I'd like to try my best to be quite simple with this. It's best to start with defining it. So debt recovery at its core is the process of pursuing money that's rightfully owed to you. I think for purposes of our conversation, we're going to deal with two common scenarios. The first is where a client has paid for goods or services and the suppliers failed to deliver them. And I think the second would be where a client has supplied goods or performed services and the customers simply are not paid. Both situations are obviously quite frustrating in business. But Tim, from you, why would this be relevant now or matter?
Loy, it's incredibly tough economic landscape at the moment with the various geopolitical considerations, such as the war in the Middle East, which has implications on fuel prices, etc. And customers, well, our clients can't immediately increase pricing. And so there's this constant management of cash flow within tough economic circumstances where your customers may well be using you to try and manage their cash flow. And obviously cash flow is critical to a business, paying employees, expanding, etc. So a strict and well-managed credit control system is an absolute necessity for clients.
No, I mean, so I guess the key message is that debt recovery, it's not just a legal issue, I guess. It's a business critical function, right? But thankfully, we're here. So we just want to touch on ways on how this debt recovery can be made easier. And to my mind, the first thing that jumps out to me is always have a written contract. It doesn't matter how well you know the other party or how long you've worked with them. If there's no written contract, I think you're building on sand. What do you think about that, Tim?
You're absolutely right, Loy. It is inordinately easier for an attorney to put a case together where there is a written contract. Put yourself in the position of a judge hearing a matter for the very first time on the first day of trial. And if the judge is presented with two versions of what the parties say their relationship was, if it is a verbal agreement, the judge is then having to assess the veracity of each side's argument against the other. Whereas if there is a written agreement in place, that makes it a lot simpler for the judge in that he's got a written document that was signed by the parties that expresses what it is that they agreed when they initiated their relationship. And it just sets the background as to what it is that the judge is looking at and considering. So having a written agreement in place is absolutely critical for proper creditor management.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we must go into what things should be in a written agreement. And to my mind, it should record what was agreed, which sounds obvious, but you know, when a dispute arises a couple of years later, then memories fade, people have very different recollections of what was promised. But I think a written agreement should also set out the price, scope of goods and services, delivery timeline and payment terms, and also maybe establish what happens when something goes wrong, which unfortunately does sometimes happen. So Tim, in relation to contracts, what kind of mistakes do you find that clients make in the enforcement of those contracts?
From that perspective, it's diligent contract management and the observation of the requirements of the contract throughout the contract life cycle. So you can imagine that in circumstances where there are purchase orders generated in the contract life cycle and delivery notes that have been signed by the authorized representatives of the debtor, that makes the whole process of demonstrating delivery that much easier. And a judge that is seized with the matter, you can imagine on the first day of trial, where the judge has sight of delivery notes that demonstrate that an individual received goods on a specific date at a specific place and at a specific time, it's virtually impossible for the defendant then or the debtor to try and make the argument outside of some manufactured basis that the goods were not actually delivered or received. So having proper contract management processes in place is very important through the credit life cycle. Follow-ups mid-month after an invoice has been rendered to say, sir, goods were delivered on this date and payment is due on this date. Then on day 31, if the invoice was due and payable on day 30, to say we haven't received payment, please provide us with proof of payment. And then within a week thereafter, follow-ups from the credit control component of a business to the debtor to say we haven't received payment, please give us an explanation or reasons and when we will be paid. And that's all part of the credit monitoring process, which is an important process within the context of contract management and debtor management.
Yeah, so you've touched on two things there, and I think the first is that the delivery notes, purchase orders, I mean, that would all ultimately speak to proof of performance, right? I think even with a perfect contract, a client will struggle to recover a debt if they can't show that they actually performed their side of the agreement. So I think the purchase orders and delivery notes speaking to that, yeah, makes sense. Confirming what was ordered, in what quantity, what price, that's something that should definitely be a part of a client's daily, day-to-day operations. I think also from a practical perspective, the best time to gather evidence, this kind of evidence, is when the relationship is healthy and the other parties cooperate. I think once a dispute arises, it does become a bit more difficult to obtain.
Yeah, it just avoids the possibility of an opportunistic defense being taken by a debtor of goods not having been delivered, or if there are dispute periods contained within the agreement that provide that the debtor had 7 days from the date of delivery to dispute whether goods had been delivered or the quality of the goods. If that period is then expired and the debtor is then seen to have accepted the goods in the state that they were delivered, that then obviates the need to try and demonstrate that to the court after the fact. So yeah, it's impossible to try and put your case together after the fact. It's that old adage, you prepare for war while hoping for peace. You don't want to go through all of these steps because you're facing the possibility of not being paid, but you need to make sure that everything is there in the likely or unlikely event that you're not paid.
Just to go back on something you touched on regarding the internal credit control process, I think that is quite important, just because we see sometimes, you know, clients will wait an extended period. They'll have a debtor for an extended period before they approach us or before they've really taken any firm steps in relation to that debtor. And I think that can embolden the debtor because, I mean, if they've been allowed to be in breach of an agreement for an extended period, then they're going to be like, well, these guys aren't serious about their money. So I do think a system, as you mentioned, being in place would make things a lot smoother. I think also something just in relation to the question of the mistakes that clients make is knowing who you're dealing with before entering into any significant commercial relationship, especially one that involves extending credit or making an upfront payment.
Yeah, it's critically important, particularly in circumstances where a client's effectively extending credit. If you deliver goods prior to payment being required, you are effectively extending a form of credit to your customer. And so in those circumstances, you have every right to know who it is that you're getting into a relationship with from a credit perspective. You're entitled to know what their credit history looks like, and you should know what their credit history looks like. You would not be prudent to simply extend credit effectively or deliver your goods in circumstances where you don't know whether you're going to get paid or not. You want to know that the business that you're getting into a relationship with is going to have the resources to be able to pay you. So yeah, absolutely, having that insight into what their credit worthiness is. And then also, to the extent that security is required, putting those security arrangements in place in the form of suretyships or notarial bonds, having those types of securities in place to mitigate any risk that you face in the event that there is non-payment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. To my mind, the last thing that comes up, just that I would advise clients to do, is, I mean, from the moment that, I guess even prior to that, but from the moment there's non-payment, clients should go out of their way to document everything. Every phone call should be followed up with an email confirming what was discussed. Every promise to pay recorded in writing. You know, I think from our perspective, if a client is required to institute proceedings, then what can often be useful is if there's an acknowledgement of debt from the debtor. But yeah, I think just keeping a meticulous paper trail.
That comes in the contract management aspect of it, which is, as we've discussed here, and it all basically comes down to effective contract management from the outset of knowing who you're doing business with to managing your customer from the inception of the agreement to the end, so that they know that the entity that they are doing business with has these various processes in place and will be following up with them. You're training your client to know that come a certain date, payment is going to be required, and if payment is not made, well, that's going to have certain consequences. And it's all about establishing that upfront. It's just good business practice to make sure that you have all of the processes in place and document your relationship with your customer. A trial could all ultimately hinge on a particular telephone note that was made as a contemporaneous note of a discussion that was had. So it's critical that all discussions with customers on business-related issues are recorded and a file is kept of those interactions.
Look, I think the first thing is prevention is better than a cure, right? So get your contracts in writing, specify the payment terms clearly, and keep meticulous records of everything that you deliver and every invoice you issue. Part of that you mentioned, Tim, was putting in a credit control process. I think the second aspect, that you should act quickly when a payment is missed or delivery fails. And third, as mentioned, put everything in writing from the first overdue invoice. Make sure there's a clean paper trail recording all your interactions with the debtor. And I guess we didn't discuss this, Tim, but it might be a point worth mentioning that if you are in doubt, and if a client is in doubt and it is a significant transaction or amount of money at stake, that it doesn't hurt to take legal advice early.
Yeah, absolutely. It could ultimately come down to just getting input as to what the potential legal ramifications are if a step is not taken immediately, and how much rope a debtor should be afforded before any steps are taken. It never hurts to just consult and ensure that a proper strategy is being followed.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, everyone, for listening to CDH's Conversations podcast. And thank you, Tim, for your time.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication, and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.